Hi, it's Pinky McKay here from pinkymckay.com and boobybickies.com.au. Just in case you don't know, these are my cookies for mums, full of organic and natural superfood ingredients to boost your mood, your energy and your breast milk. I'm an international board certified lactation consultant. I'm an infant massage instructor and the author of 5 books, including Parenting by Heart, 100 Ways to Calm the Crying, Sleeping Like a Baby and Toddler Tactics. These are all published by Penguin Random House. And they're available on my website and bookshops and on audible.com if you don't have time to read. My most important role of all, though, is that I'm a mum of 5 with almost 18 years between the oldest and youngest. I'm also a grandmother of 3 little ones, so I've been through all sorts of life changes, and the topic of mother stress is very real and very close to home for me. In my wonderful work sharing that very special new baby time with Amelie, I feel really privileged, but I also see a lot of very raw emotions and a lot of stress that isn't openly talked about, most likely because women feel very isolated and unsupported in what I like to call the real change of life. I've done the next one, and that was a walk in the park compared to the changes of becoming a mother. Whether this is your first baby or a subsequent one, there's always adjustment. Each time I had a baby, I found it a challenge to surrender. That's a big word, surrender. To the pace of a new baby. This may have been because I had big gaps between some of my babies, or perhaps it's just my personality style. I'm pretty easygoing, but I'm also a bit of a control freak. My head's always spinning with to-dos, and I find I have to really work at pulling myself back into the present. The hormones that come with a new baby were my biggest help to slow down and enjoy my babies. In fact, one day when I yelled at a teenager, he looked at me with a twinkle in his eye and said, "I think you need to feed the baby." And when a teenage boy can notice that zen space that comes with sitting and cuddling and holding and breastfeeding a baby, it must be making a difference. And science actually shows us that oxytocin, the hormone, we call it the love hormone, that is released when we have hugs and cuddles and laughter, and when we feed a baby, when we cuddle a baby, when we do skin-to-skin cuddles with a baby, it all helps to boost our oxytocin, which actually pushes down and cancels out cortisol, which is our stress hormone. So hugs and cuddles and snuggling with your babies and your children and laughing with them and laughing with your partner is all helpful for your stress. Now, our podcast today is all about you. I'll be sharing some real practical tips to make things easier, but I'm not going to tell you what you should be doing. I often say, don't let anybody should on you. And it's not about making you feel you aren't a good enough mother. You are, just the way you are. It's about acknowledging the pressures that make mothering the most challenging work you've ever had to do. It's also about easing the pressures from doing it all to feeling you have to keep up appearances. And this podcast is about celebrating you as a woman as well as a mother and helping you feel valued as you acknowledge your power to be the mother you want to be. Whatever this means for you. We'll also have a few laughs too as you learn how to face the pressures of modern mothering with confidence and a sense of humour. We need to laugh. How to align your personal values and your authentic mothering style without feeling you have to fit any neatly defined stereotype or live up to any good mummy images portrayed by the media or social media. That can put a lot of pressure on us too. How to cope with changing relationships with friends and family. What and who to let in and what to let go, and how you can do this with dignity for everyone. How to deflect criticism, wherever that comes from, and some proven strategies you can use instantly to beat the effects of stress, even when you're swamped with must-dos. 5 ways to make your daily life easier, from simple tips to prioritise and trim that never-ending list, to taking shortcuts that no one else is going to notice, whether this is your first baby or a subsequent child. I'm a mum of 5, so there probably isn't a shortcut I don't know or a kid-related disaster I haven't dealt with. So let's get into it. How to face the pressures of modern mothering with confidence and a sense of humour. Recently, I asked mums on my Facebook fan page what were their greatest mothering stresses. The answers were many and varied, but common things were meeting expectations. And those are our own expectations of ourselves as mothers, and the expectations of others or outside pressures. Pressure to keep up appearances, and often people are keeping up appearances to avoid interference. You know, if you're looking as though everything's smooth and you're lying about it all, you're less likely to get the pressure or advice that you don't really want that's going to suck your energy anyway. It's a really tricky balance, that one. Guilt. Oh, the womanly art of self-flagellation, I call it. It seems to be something we're all very, very good at. A lack of support, including a lack of support and help from partners. Lack of time to take care of ourselves. Lack of real breaks, feeling the pressure to take care of the kids in the home before ourselves. Lack of money. Lack of respect for the role of being a mum. Being torn about meeting the individual needs of siblings, whether they're close in age or further apart. Mess, especially when everyone else seems to have it together. I can assure you, everyone else does not have it together. I actually visited three mums in the same suburb within a couple of blocks of each other, just a couple of years ago it was, and I found that each of these mums, when I said, have you talked about this in your mums group? Because they obviously all went to the same mums group, but because of confidentiality, I couldn't say, do you know her around the corner? And they just said, oh no, everyone else has it so together. You know, everyone else is, you know, managing. I'm the only one floundering. And it's not the case. Everybody else is, you know, having their hard days too. And I really want to compliment Zoe for, Zoe Marshall, the host of House of Wellness, for her Instagram post being so honest, so real about, you know, falling apart sometimes and losing your mummy mojo. And sometimes when we do disclose that we're having a hard time, we give other people permission to say, yeah, it's tough for me too. And it's okay, we don't need to have a big pity party, but, you know, just knowing that you're not the only one really makes a difference. And the big one is exhaustion, and this can impact in so many ways. You know, as I meet mothers every day, I see the effects of these stresses on women, on their families, and how this colours the way we're all able to mother. So many women I meet and receive emails from feel confused, frustrated, and overwhelmed by immense pressure to live up to these unrealistic expectations of themselves. One mum said, multitasking constantly and too many balls juggling in the air make it impossible to be organised. It's a meditation, though. There's no choice but to stay present in the chaos. My stress levels go down significantly, though, when I have time to get organised and have downtime so I have more to give later. You know, and there's family admin, fadmin, organising everything from bills, birthdays, catch-ups, immunisations, dinners and everything in between. So how do we cope with all these pressures? I'm not going to go singly through these pressures because that would take days and days and days. But first up, you need energy. It's really important to take care of your physical self so you have energy to do the big job of nurturing, to regain your vitality if you're recovering from giving birth, and to maintain your energy as your baby grows. You know, keeping up with active children is a huge stress on your body, and the responsibility of nurturing a little being is rewarding and joyful. But it also takes up a lot of mental energy. So being a mum is a job that has no clearly defined job description. You make it up as you go, and there's no downtime. Even when you aren't with your child, you're still planning, organising, thinking about them. You know, part of your brain has been hijacked by this child. So to gather your mother energy, first up, really practical stuff, eat well. Give yourself a head start in the energy stakes and maintain your energy levels until the afternoon by eating a nutritious breakfast. You know, I see so many women who haven't had breakfast or they've had a very minimal breakfast that's not really going to sustain them. So breakfast, make a smoothie, add some oats, grab and go foods like muffins, but make sure they're low sugar or you might as well be eating cake. So make a batch of muffins, put them in the freezer using healthy ingredients, whole grain flours, flaxseed meal, chia seeds, throw in all the good stuff. Make a batch of French toast. Get a whole loaf of bread out and your eggs and make a batch of French toast, then freeze it with a layer of baking paper between each slice, and then you can just pop a slice in the toaster and you've got an instant brekkie or a snack. You know, you can pop something on it if you want to pop, you know, lemon juice or maple syrup or honey or whatever you like on top of it. You can do that or some fruit, but pop it in the toaster and you've got instant brekkie or a snack. 3:30-itis. This is the time when your blood sugar's getting low. It's afternoon, your energy is getting low, your hormones are winding down or up. Avoid empty calories at this time. Sweets and junk food won't sustain your energy and they can cause mood changes as your blood sugar levels fluctuate. So opt for healthy snacks such as fresh fruit or vegetables, avocados, boiled eggs, hummus dip with raw veggies, cheese or tuna on crackers, or pate perhaps, or smoked salmon, include fish in your diet. Deep sea fish such as salmon, tuna and mackerel are rich in DHA, which is a fatty acid that's really important in maintaining your nervous system. Studies show that a mother's DHA levels become depleted as her body provides for the developing infant during pregnancy and breastfeeding, and low levels of DHA or omega-3s can lead to reduced concentrations of serotonin, which is your feel-good neurotransmitter. It's been linked to depression. If you're a vegetarian, you can add flaxseed to foods to boost your omega-3s. Have a health check. This is just such a priority, but it's something we just don't get around to as mothers, or women in general, I think. You know, we run around and do everything like crazy and forget until we crash. So you need to be in peak health to meet the needs of your family as well as the demands of your busy life. So take time to have a health check. Now, thyroid disorders, low iron, low vitamin D levels can all make you feel really exhausted. So it's not just about your lifestyle, but these conditions can also present with symptoms of anxiety or depression. And a simple blood test will reveal if you need treatment. So homework for you, have a full blood test and specifically get your iron, your thyroid and your vitamin D levels checked. Prioritise rest. Now, broken sleep is a reality with babies and small children, but there are ways to get healthy sleep, even if it isn't in the long stretches you were used to before you had a child, or BC, I say, before child. You know, and there are some tips to get better sleep, even if you have an uninterrupted sleep. Now, consider, who can you get to help you? Could a family member watch your baby while you catch up on some sleep? Sometimes, if you're a new mum and you're just totally exhausted, even if you, you know, leave a bottle of express breast milk just in case your baby wakes up, get a family member or a friend to just watch your baby while you go and have one nap until you wake up or until your boobs wake you up. You know, just have one really good nap, and that can even make a difference. And I'm not saying do that frequently because it can mess up your milk supply if you do that too often. You know, just if you're really exhausted, it's quite okay to just take a break, get someone to watch your baby while you catch up on sleep. How can you share the load with your partner if you have one, so you can sleep in or take a nap? And if things come desperate, you might call in some professional help. You know, you might call in a doula or a nanny or somebody who can help you, maybe someone who can help support you around your baby's sleep if you really feel your baby's having a difficult time with sleep. But also be careful with who is coming in, because sometimes, you know, there are a lot of sleep consultants on the internet who have simply done online training and call themselves qualified, and they don't have backgrounds in health or maternal health or baby development. So, you know, be really careful who you get in to help you with it. You might also like to check out my book, Sleeping Like a Baby. That's on my website at pinkymckay.com for some gentle ways to help you and your baby get a bit more sleep. Now, our environment can create stress, or it can be a safe place to nourish us and help us relax. So consider what the energy vampires are in your environment. People or things. We can't always control people who are energy vampires, but we can see less of some of them and we can protect our personal space. Your home is your castle. Don't feel you have to have playgroup at your home. Make mum's group meetups very simple if you do have them over. You know, buy a quiche from the deli. Serve cold drinks. You don't have to run around and give everybody hot drinks. You know, you can tut-tut-tut about hot drinks around babies if you feel a bit uncomfortable. Let everyone help themselves. If the energy vampires are family members, that's harder, so we do have to be creative or assertive, and I'll show you a bit of that in a little while. And in our homes, we can reduce stress and energy drains. Noise, turn the volume down. TV, stereos, computers, turn the TV off when you aren't watching it. And it's really a simple tip, but it can save a lot of mental stress, and it'll help your kids be calmer too. Mess. Try to simplify. Put things away that you don't use. Rotate the toys. Throw out stuff you don't need. The less stuff, the less clutter. time? Do you feel as though you're constantly racing the clock? Try overestimating how much time each thing will take you to do. Allow for interruptions and build in transition time. Don't plan to leave for appointments 10 minutes early. Set your clock 10 minutes ahead. And don't keep counting so that you add on, you know, oh, I've still got another 10 minutes. You know, I don't need to rush. Don't rush. Allow for a vomit or a big nappy or a toddler's lost shoe before you get out the door. Have one clean space. You know, everything else might be a bit messy or it might go to hell in a handbasket later. But if you've got one corner or one room as a nurturing space, at least you've got somewhere to retreat to without being annoyed by mess. Might be your bedroom. It might be a quiet, clean feeding corner. If you've got a little baby, set up a feeding basket for yourself. Keep healthy snacks in it, a water bottle. Maybe put your TV remote, your phone, your book. Maybe a pad and pen, or you're going to take notes on your phone. So feeding time is me time, not a time of dressing because you're stuck as you think of all those to-dos. Now try to be present and enjoy those sweet cuddles and boost that oxytocin up and kick those stress hormones to the ground. Let go of guilt. Divide guilt into piles. You know, good guilt motivates, bad guilt takes you away from the present. And if we dwell on guilt, that adds to our stress load. We tend to overcompensate, and often we give in when we should actually be setting boundaries or indulging our child when all we need to do is apologize. You know, acknowledge what we've done that disappointed us and our child and move on. Guilt can be a signal that we might need to do things differently. So instead of being overcome, try and work out what happened. Why did we lose our temper, perhaps? And how could we do things differently next time? Do we need more support? Do we need some more skills in our parenting toolbox? Where can we learn these? Where can we go and get support? Be honest with yourself and with other mothers. And this creates less pressure on you as it gives other mothers permission to be honest too. I've got a fun story. I was up to my third baby and I was at a mother's group. You know, it was all facilitated and lovely. And the host, the facilitator asked everyone to go around the circle, introduce themselves, and talk about one, you know, great thing that they'd managed this week. And people were saying things like, you know, look, I've found this wonderful routine, and my husband and I have quiet time in the evening, and I've taken my children to the park every morning this week. And it was getting on and getting a little bit better and better and better as we went around the circle. And I'm thinking, holy crap. Oh, gee, I've had a bit of a big week. You know, I've got this newborn baby. I've got two wild children at home as well as her. What have I done? And the woman next to me, I hadn't met her before, and she said, I've had a rotten week. It's been raining. My washing machine's broken down or my dryer's broken down. I haven't managed to do any washing, and today I'm wearing my husband's underpants. And I just looked at her and I went, you can be my new best friend. And we actually did become really great friends, but you know, just sometimes that little bit of honesty and people will gasp at you and then they'll laugh and, you're giving other people permission to stop this crazy competition, which is such a big energy suck. Have fun. It can help to consider what kind of mother your child will remember when she grows up. What would you like your child to remember? What's your legacy for your child, a happy mother or a stressed out one? A mum who delighted in her child or a mother who was always trying to hurry a little bit? You know, and hurry those seemingly trivial interactions that they mean a lot to your child. You know, a mum who felt present or a mum who was always a bit distant or too busy. One thing we can do, and we can do this any time we feel a bit overwhelmed, is to check in by asking, does this really matter right now? Will any small children suffer if I don't do this? Whether it's change the sheets, vacuum the floor, paint my toenails. Well, that's stretching it, isn't it, when you're really stressed. But, you know, sometimes things can be left and it doesn't really matter. It might be better off just to get outside, jump on the trampoline with your kids instead of changing the sheets for one more day. Now, would it matter if my child was taken from me tomorrow? Will I be able to look back and say I really enjoyed this time with my child? When my kids grow up, will I be able to smile as I recall the delightful memories, knowing I was part of the wonder and excitement of their childhood? Did we have fun together? And you know what? If you're not perfect, it's really good for your kids, because when they grow up, they can have some big laughs with their friends about, you know, the dumb things their mother did or the things they didn't manage. you know, my windows were filthy one day, and, you know, cleaning windows was the last thing on my list as a mum of little children. And my husband came home one day, and for some reason he looked at the windows and said, when was the last time you cleaned the windows? Well, I don't know whether to laugh hysterically or burst into tears or to throw him out the door. But the next day I had all those children play a beautiful game. I told them a story, and then I got out the paints and I let them paint the windows. And of course, the neighbours' kids all thought this was so much fun that we had a little thing going that the kids could paint the windows. We had a spring window, we had a Christmas window, we had, you know, a winter window, and the kids painted on the windows. Now, do it on the outside because it's damned hard to clean off on the inside, but they can have fun with the hose a few weeks later. It really doesn't matter. And now I've got my grandkids painting the front window of the house for Christmas, and they think it's the best, best thing ever. But sometimes some of our, you know, not so happy experiences can flip around, and some of our dumb things we do as mothers can be a good time of laughing and fun and connection with our kids as they get a bit bigger. So we don't have to be perfect. Wouldn't it be a lot to live up to if you had a perfect mother? So some homework. Set yourself a goal to do one fun thing every day before 10 a.m. It doesn't have to be anything big. It might just be dance around the living room to some music that's yours, not your child's. If you're too stressed right now to be spontaneous, write a list and stick it to your fridge. Your spontaneity will develop as you see the positive response from your little kids. Now, how do we align our personal values and our authentic mothering style without feeling that we have to fit any neatly defined stereotype or live up to media images? And remember, it's a complete waste of energy to compare yourself to everyone else's highlight reels and gorgeous photos on social media. You're unique. Your child's unique. There's no perfect family. And when you feel overwhelmed or you lack support or you feel you're in unknown territory, at these times you often question your own wisdom and you become really vulnerable to pressure and inappropriate advice. And that's why it's really helpful to be clear about your own style as a mother and a woman and what's important to you. Because when you clarify this, you can take away the stress of living up to other people's ideals and images about what a good mother should behave like. Remember, don't let anyone should on you. And another one is what other people think about you is none of your business. And you can merge your personal style with your mothering style and come up with a good, comfortable blend. When you're aware of the positives and the challenges of your personal style, whether you're a neat freak, you're organised, you're social or you're relaxed, how those relate to being a mother, you can harness your strengths and make the most of them. You know, for instance, being a neat freak can mean you feel completely frustrated when you get behind with laundry and tidying. And that creates more stress as you find yourself focusing on things that need doing instead of enjoying, you know, what's going on around you and enjoying being with your family. If you're naturally really social, being home alone can be, especially if you've got a high needs kind of baby, it can feel very isolating and you can feel quite depressed. And childless friends don't understand that you can't just dump your baby and spontaneously go for a drink or that you're too tired to sit up late talking to them if they visit or if they call. So instead of falling prey to your images of perfect mummy and focusing on the negatives, try looking at how your personal style can be integrated into your mothering style and why this is a good thing. Whatever your personality, for instance, being organised will help you have a sense of order and it reduces frustration about whether you'll eat tonight. Being relaxed and go with the flow makes it easier to respond to your baby without feeling stressed about the unpredictability of his needs. Being social means you feel confident about meeting a whole new group of people through baby classes and activities. And being private means you can cope well with being at home alone with your baby. So whatever your personality or personal style, it's helpful to be clear about what's important to you. Because if you deny parts of yourselves or you try to force yourself to be somebody that you naturally aren't, you'll feel resentment and your child's going to sense this. They're little barometers of our emotions, aren't they? But when you work out your mothering style on your terms, you'll be able to eliminate stress and guilt and enjoy being a mother. You'll also be able to nurture with awareness, knowing where you can make shifts and compromises that feel comfortable to you. Now, for instance, if you feel out of control when you don't have a routine, you'll probably find the unpredictability of life with a baby has you feeling overwhelmed. And yet a strict routine can also have you feeling like a failure when you can't meet your self-imposed deadlines because your baby won't fit into the schedule. One way to manage this is to break your day into early morning, late morning, early afternoon, late afternoon and evening, and work your tasks around your baby's needs. You know, it can help you to create a daily rhythm, a weekly rhythm, a monthly rhythm. Just don't put too many things in your list, though, because there's no worse emotion than disappointment. And if you're less organized and you find yourself overwhelmed by chaos because it, you know, it just isn't in you to plan ahead, this kind of gentle planning can help you too. And if things are really crazy, try to list the things that you do need done to help you feel a sense of order and then delegate. Either pay for help or ask for it. Just needed to have a little drink there. I've got a bit of a tickly throat. It can also help to try and think what you enjoyed before you had a baby. When were you happiest? Was it when you completed a really challenging task and you nailed it? Was it when you were enjoying great social or leisure moments? How can you integrate some of this fun into your new mummy life? Reading, studying, exercise, sport, music, meeting new friends, maybe a class with your baby, maybe some volunteer work if you've got a little bit of time. Stuff that you can do with your baby, or maybe it's returning to paid work, but on your terms. Consider, what can you do with a baby in tow? What do you really need right now? How can you manage some things around your baby? And where can you find support to make these things happen? As you work out your own authentic mothering style, be kind to yourself. And remember the old saying, if mama ain't happy, nobody ain't happy. Take care not to add pressure by putting too many things on your to-do list. Ditch those images of perfect mummy or super mum, whatever these are. She's a myth anyway. Relax and be the mother you want to be, your own way. Now, I've got 5 tips here to help make your daily life easier. Is it from simple tips to prioritise and trim that never-ending list to taking shortcuts that nobody else is going to notice? And whether this is your first baby or a subsequent child, I'm a mum of 5, so I know a lot of tricky little shortcuts. And you know what? Nobody even notices. Plan your day. You don't need a rigid routine, and it might seem you don't have one at all. That's okay, but you can avoid stress, especially at peak times, with a bit of planning. So prepare your dinner in the morning. Let a slow cooker become your new best friend. Now, a rice cooker will do risotto that you don't need to watch. Chop veggies in the morning and throw it all in later to cook. Make double batch of food and freeze them for difficult days. Yeah, it's okay to have a baked bean dinner occasionally. You know, add a glass of milk, bread and fruit, and you've got 4 food groups. And, you know, if your baby has his awake time in the morning and he's a little bit fractious and he needs a lot more care, do it in the afternoon if he has a rest, or pop your baby in a baby carrier as you do your work. You've got 2 hands free so that when he does snooze off, you can actually have some quiet time yourself. Before you go to bed at night, set up an activity for your toddler so that in the morning you've got a little bit more time to get your morning started. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. You might just get out the blocks ready for him and some little people, or you might set up some Play-Doh ready to use, perhaps with some noodles or something that's easy to clean up that he can poke into his Play-Doh. You know, just in my book, Toddler Tactics, I've actually got lots of little simple activities for toddlers, but it can help just to get you started in the morning, especially if, like me, you're not a morning person. Divide your workload. Don't knock yourself out trying to clean the whole house from top to bottom while your baby's sleeping. You know, you'll find you're exhausted by the time he wakes up. Plan one job each day. It might be cleaning the fridge, or it might be cleaning the bathroom. It might be tidying one cupboard or one bookshelf. Or it might be, you know, ordering your groceries online. By the end of the week, it's all going to get done. And you know what? If it doesn't, as long as the choking hazards are picked up, no small children are going to suffer because they lived in a messy house. They won't remember whether they wore clothes that were ironed or not, and they won't give a toss if they ate cheese on toast and fruit for dinner some night, or if they had a picnic dinner in the bath. Now, this is a good little tip that I discovered with my own kids. You know, dinner in the bath, a picnic. Saves the clean-ups, the mess goes down the plug hole, you're multitasking, saves time. Everyone has fun. I wouldn't do it every night because it won't be so special, but it can be great fun just occasionally to have a picnic dinner in the bath, or maybe dessert if you've got yogurt and bananas or something like that in the bath. Kids are doing this. The mist goes down the plug. No cleaning the high chair. No worry about it at all. I mean, sometimes you might want to use paper plates or, for dinner and just go for it. Get your kids to help. Get all kids of any age who can walk or talk. They can start helping with tidy up. Make it a game at first for your little ones. They never know the difference as long as you smile. You can sing a cleaning up song. Kids under six learn best by imitation, so work with them rather than expecting them to follow orders. And if you want kids to help, consider ways to make things easier for them. Let's put their clothes on hangers they can reach, for instance, or label drawers and toy boxes and baskets with pictures so they can put things in the right places. Eliminate things that are outgrown, unused, or just in the road. Now, putting away the toys and rotating a small number at a time. Children will enjoy their toys more, they'll play more creatively, and also makes tidy ups much easier. It can help to create designated play spaces, so messes contained to one area rather than scattered all through the house. Delete, delegate, or simplify. Take a look at everything you do each day. Maybe make a list on your phone. It can take a week or so to do this. If you just sit there a few minutes each day, perhaps while you're feeding the baby or, I don't know, watching crappy TV at night, watching Netflix, just sit there and make that list on your phone and consider which things really need to be done. What do you enjoy doing? What do you hate doing? What could you leave off your list for a little while? What can you do less often? Do you bath your baby every day? Does it really matter if you do or you just top and tail? Or can you bath your baby and toddlers together? Or can you put the baby in the bath or shower with your partner? That's just one little example of, how can we multitask without making it an extra job? Maybe shop less often or shop online. Keep a blackboard or a notepad in the kitchen and jot down the things you run out of. Your shopping list's already made then. Delegate. What can you delegate? It might mean hiring some help. Or could you get your partner or children to take on more responsibility by sharing the load? Partners and kids aren't mind readers though, so speak up nicely if you need help. Look, one kind of help to consider is a school kid. Kids can't go out and earn money till they're almost 15. They can't work at Target or Kmart or Coles until they're around 15. So sometimes school kids, boys or girls, around about anything from about 11 or 12 even, can often be quite helpful to have these kids. And I had a little girl that lived over the back fence from me when my kids were little. And she just used to love coming over after school. Her mum was a complete neat freak, so she wasn't allowed to make a mess or do anything. And her mum was at work, so she'd pop in after school. And it was great because she could sit and play with my kids while I got dinner on. She could even supervise my two toddlers, a one-year-old and a three-year-old. She could sit with them while I'm having a bath. And I'd leave the bathroom door open so I could see what was going on, so that they were safe. Or she could take one of them for a walk around the block in the stroller while I got the other one bathed. It did something else for another child or got things ready. So, she could even help me with the kids while I folded the washing in the afternoon. She was great at playing with the children. And it just took that little bit of pressure off me. And she wasn't doing any work. She would love tidying up. And she modelled really well on her mother. Her mother was a super housewife. I'm certainly not. So she loved doing things like that, and that was a great help. And, you don't have to pay a kid very much if you're doing that. And sometimes just giving them some movie tickets or whatever, but you feel better if you do pay them a little bit. But it might only be something like $5 an hour rather than paying someone, $20 an hour to come in, or $40 an hour if you're hiring a nanny. It's enough to just have someone come and help you for a little while. Invite a niece or nephew to stay during school holidays if they're a little bit older. They can certainly hold a baby while you have a shower if they're 11 or 12, absolutely safely. And it can also help to look at your own beliefs around the work you do at home and why you may not be delegating. Do you think that because you're an at-home mother, you should do everything around the home? Are you working outside the home so you feel guilty about asking your children to help? Overcompensating and doing all of the household chores won't do your kids any favour. eventually they'll have to leave the nest, and what could be more devastating than knowing you haven't prepared them for independent living? So how do we cope with changing relationships with friends and family? And what and who to let in and what to let go, and how you can do this with dignity for everyone? Now, as you become parents, your friendships change. You might have different parenting styles from friends. Sometimes you'll be able to agree to disagree, but others you may have to work out on a different level. Maybe you see each other without children present, or in a neutral situation and space, you know, without white tablecloths, like a park, or instead of a cafe. And if things are strained, allow yourself to let go of these friends if it isn't working. Now, being honest is important. You don't have time to waste or energy to waste on relationships that don't support your own values as a mum. Something you can do, which might be fun, is write down a list of your top five values. Do it with your partner. Do it with a mum friend. Make it a fun thing to do with your mum's group. It can start a really good discussion. And, you know, I find family first is a good motto, as I prioritise. You know, I've been asked to do things on, you know, special event on actual Mother's Day and say, sorry, that's my family day. Not happening. You know, and you can advocate for your child and you'll be setting a great example. Whether it's an invitation or a request for help from others, ask yourself, you know, does this match up for me? Is it going to fit my values? Is it going to fit in with my children's needs or my baby's needs? And it's okay to say no. You know, no is a complete sentence. You don't have to explain yourself. And that's why it can be quite handy just to write down your list of values. If you've got time, I don't want to make too many to-dos for you. Relationships with your own family can often be the most complicated. You know, you mightn't have had a lot of involvement with your parents or your partner's parents since you grew up and left home, but it's really important to honour grandparents and make an effort for them to spend time with their grandchildren. Now, I'm a grandmother, I hear from grandparents who would love to be more involved, and they could be a great support. Some of these people are really, you know, great. They're high energy, they've got some, you know, they're good and healthy, they've got time on their hands, but they don't know how to step up without feeling as though they might be interfering. And I also hear from some grandparents who actually feel shut out. So please be sensitive and inclusive. And a lot of what might seem like criticism from grandparents, it could just be an attempt at sharing some of their hard-earned wisdom. You know, perhaps you could share some new information or books with them and discuss, ask grandma how it was for her when she had her babies. You know, there's nothing worse than hearing, you know, I had three children and I managed, or my husband went straight back to work after I had the babies. You know, sometimes they just need a bit of acknowledgement and say, well, so how was it for you? How did you manage? Flip it back to them or ask them, would you like to give him his bath? You know, give them a little job that's safe, that really isn't controversial. How do you deal with unwanted advice or criticism? You know, one of the biggest causes of mother stress is dealing with unwanted advice, especially when you're feeling tired and vulnerable, or perhaps advice that undermines what you're doing with your baby. You know, comments like, you're creating bad habits, or you're making a rod for your back. One mum told me, she mentioned her unsettled baby slept better in a sling, and she was told, you might be solving one problem, but you're creating a bigger one. And this poor mum was then questioning a perfectly valid solution that works for her and her baby. You know, self-doubt's an awful energy drain. So how do you deal with unhelpful advice so you can remain confident and on track and stop beating up yourself from doing things the right way, wherever that advice is coming from? You know, if you're clear about what kind of parent you want to be, you'll be much stronger at standing up for yourself and your child, whoever's offering the advice. It might be a close family member, it might be a professional. Remember, you are the expert about your well child. You can trust your own intuition, and if you're feeling vulnerable or confused about advice, you can filter it by checking in. Is it safe? Is it respectful? And does it feel right? And of course you'll consult with professionals if there's an issue around your baby or child's health or development. But if any advice feels stressful for you and your child, step back and consider seeking another opinion. You don't have to be rude or aggressive when you're given advice, especially when it comes from a close family member. You know, consider that even though the advice may not fit with your parenting style or it might be a bit old-fashioned, it's probably been shared with good intent. Getting into an argument is a waste of stress hormones. You can respectfully say thank you and then do what feels right for you. Perhaps you could think up some comebacks to use in typical situations. You know, of course, if they come to mind at the moment, we're awfully good at comebacks after the event. You know, often people say, is he a good baby? You're all going to get asked that. Maybe come up with something ridiculous so that you don't get the next heap of advice. You know, just say, because the next question is going to be, does he sleep all night? And of course, new babies don't sleep all night. You know, say something like, oh, he's already started robbing banks. You know, I heard him talking to his little friend about getting a tattoo, or we're going to put him on eBay next week. You know, come up with something really silly. You know, and have a few comebacks ready if you want to, but, you know, if you haven't got them, it doesn't matter. So here are some ways to handle unwanted advice. You know, being assertive, it's different from being aggressive. You don't have to defend your actions. You know, just try saying, this works well for us. And smile when you respond. They might assume you don't know what you're doing or that you're a complete twit, but, you know, that can be a strategic advantage too. Nobody can argue with a fool, so they're likely to back off. Take a deep breath and count to 10 really slowly. Or pretend you're standing next to a window. Imagine opening the window and letting all the negative comments blow away behind you. Include your partner's name when you respond to criticism, as in, you know, my partner's name, you know, Fred, Jack, Tom, Sarah, Sally, and I have decided, da-da-da-da-da, whatever you've decided. You know, if you're desperate, bring out the big guns. You know, my pediatrician, my doctor, my child health nurse, my lactation consultant, whatever relevant authority at the time is, you know, says blah, 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 blah. Remember, some advice could be useful, so listen and then decide what you want to take on board. You know, if you've been ambushed by some sort of veiled criticism, just try smiling and say, you know, make an enthusiastic, oh, thank you, I'll remember that. Then go home and do whatever you like. Don't waste precious energy on an argument that probably won't change the other person's mind anyway. But it might upset you if they're really persistent about their views, and they might become even more critical about what you're doing. So tread that fine line of, you know, where you want to push your energy or where you want to let it go. Here's some proven strategies you can use instantly to beat the effects of stress, even when you're swamped with must-dos, if you're overwhelmed. Stress makes you sick sooner or later. You know, high levels of stress hormones affect your brain chemistry, and they reduce your immunity, so whether you become bad-tempered or angry or resentful, or if you just become prone to catching bugs, stress is going to catch up with you. And I can say this from personal experience. You know, a few years ago, I developed a stress-related autoimmune disease, and if I don't pace myself, it flares up. It's far better to be a little selfish, you know, selfish in inverted commas, and make some time for you before you get sick and you have to ask for help. Although nurturing yourself will probably mean really simple things at first, and it probably includes your baby, it's really essential that you exercise, you nourish your body with fresh, healthy foods, you surround yourself with positive support, or you are at serious risk for burnout, and it's more than exhaustion. It's when you feel you have nothing left to give. You know, days feel dark, you get cranky with everyone, and it can spiral down to depression, you know, actual clinical depression. And I want you to think, who's going to care for your family when you're unwell? Mothers don't get sick leave, so you know, try and knock off that stress beforehand. So here's some proven strategies to reduce stress. Number one, breathe. Just stop for a couple of minutes. It could be 2 minutes, it could be 5 minutes, and just breathe in and out deeply and slowly. I always forget, you know, how many breaths in I should count and how many breaths out I should count. So just say to yourself as you're breathing, I am breathing in, I am breathing out. As you inhale and release your breath. Breathing heightens our awareness. It'll encourage the release of tension. And deep breathing counters the effect of stress by slowing your heart rate and lowering your blood pressure. Number two, meditation. Now, that's a learned skill, and I find, you know, my mind is very busy and races around, so I've had to do this practice a lot for meditation, but there are some great apps and some podcasts to help, and one that I find helpful is this Guided Relaxations, and it's on Meditation Oasis. They're free, and they can be downloaded from iTunes, and this woman's got a lovely voice. Sometimes you hear recorded meditations and you can't relax because the person's voice is annoying you. Exercise, it dissipates adrenaline, your stress hormone, and it increases serotonin, so, you know, it reduces anxiety. And, you know, my daughter's a psychologist, and she said to me, during a fairly stressful time. I had a child in hospital, and she said to me, you know, you need to either get out and walk off that adrenaline, or go and have a massage and get it pummeled out of you. And so, you know, your exercise, look, it could be an actual class. It might be a mum and baby yoga class, mum and baby exercise class, a kanga training class where you exercise with your baby in a carrier with you. Or you can simply walk with your baby in a carrier or a pram. Walking is quite meditative too, you know, just a lovely walk in the fresh air. It's free, so there's no excuses. Guard your mental energy. Now, learn your early warning signs that you're entering your overwhelm zone. You feel extra tired. You start to say yes when you know you should have said no. Your shoulders are up and tense. Where are your shoulders right now? You're yelling too much. You're feeling anxious. You've got a racy heart, dizziness. They're all signs that you need to stop and take time out. Whatever that is for you and however you can manage it. It might mean sitting in the sun while your toddler plays outside. One good tip with your toddler is give your toddler a bowl or a small shallow bucket of water and a house-sized paintbrush and get them to paint the fence or paint an outdoor chair. They'll keep painting with this water and you get time to sit outside in the sunshine. It might mean having an afternoon nap with your baby. It might mean hiring a doula or inviting a friend over just for one afternoon so you can go to bed while she cuddles the baby or plays with your toddler. And don't ever feel like you're imposing, because everybody loves to be involved with a new family with a baby. Just inviting a friend over can be great if your stress is affecting your mothering. It's like having supervision as well as support. You're less likely to have a mummy meltdown if you have company. And you can take turns helping each other. You know, maybe you can help fold the washing at one house, or maybe you can do a cook-up together. And this all takes down your stress because you've got a few meals to go home with and put in your freezer. Number five, it's a biggie, and it's why we're finishing up our podcast with this one. Reduce your negative self-talk, especially about how much you're achieving or not. If you feel as though you haven't achieved anything all day, all week, all year, whatever, stop this negativity right now and try looking at your day as though you're making a movie of yourself. No, follow yourself through your day and acknowledge everything you've done. So the floors might be scattered with toys, or the benches might be piled with junk, and you've no idea what you're making for dinner, but what have you done? You've engaged with your baby, you've fed him, you've cuddled him, you've rocked him, you've smelt his delicious smell, you've sat outside with your toddler, you've listened to his chatter, you've seen the world through his eyes, you survived the tantrum about the toast. You listen to your mother on the phone as you wipe the toddler's bottom with your other hand. Maybe you even managed to have a shower among all of this. You haven't achieved nothing. You have worked all day. So look at all of this as though you're watching a movie and tell yourself, I am freaking amazing. Now, I want to thank you for taking this little break to be kind to yourself. I hope some of these tips will help kick your mum's stress to the curb and boost your mummy mojo. No, you are enough. You are doing an awesome job. And I wish you a calm and happy day. Love, laugh, enjoy your little ones, and please remember to be as gentle to yourself as you are to your children. And for more support and information, you can check out my blogs, my books, my recordings. Visit my website at www.pinkymckay.com.